From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo hopes tourism will recover in all destinations. Indonesia to hold ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting next February. I'm Andi Romdoni. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Thursday paid a visit to the Likupang area on North Minahasa District, North Sulawesi, one of the five super priority destinations selected by the Indonesian government for tourism development. During his visit, he conveyed the hope that all tourist destinations would recover quickly from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and return to normal. The government is preparing supporting infrastructure in the DSPs, such as airports and access roads. The head of state said he is optimistic that the Likupang area will be visited by foreign tourists, both from Europe and ASEAN countries. Moreover, direct flights from China will reopen in February 2023. The president believes the tourism sector will further improve North Sulawesi's economic growth. Starting the ASEAN chairmanship in 2023, Indonesia will hold a meeting of ASEAN foreign ministers next February. This was conveyed by Director General for ASEAN Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Sidarto Suryodipuro, in a press briefing for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday. He said the ASEAN foreign ministers meeting was scheduled to be held on February 3 to 4, 2023, at the ASEAN Secretariat Office in Jakarta, which will begin with a meeting of the ASEAN Coordinating Council. Is the meeting of the ASEAN Coordinating Council, the highest body under the summit, which also functions to make decisions. Some of the issues that are planned to be discussed at the meeting are related to the issue of Timor-Leste. According to Sidarto, the ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting is planned to agree on matters related to Timor-Leste's modality, which has been accepted as the 11th ASEAN member country. According to Sidarto, Foreign Minister of Timor-Leste will also attend the 32nd ASEAN Coordinating Council meeting in Indonesia for the first time. Director General of ASEAN Cooperation of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Sidarto Suryodipuro, said Indonesia encouraged all parties in Myanmar to communicate with opposing parties regarding the problems being faced. However, according to him, ASEAN under Indonesia's chairmanship in 2023 will not be held hostage by the Myanmar conflict alone. In a statement delivered in Jakarta on Thursday, Sidarto also said that ASEAN under Indonesia's chairmanship in 2023 will continue to focus on building the ASEAN community.
Kita sudah memastikan
During our chairmanship and also in other years, ASEAN community building will continue. ASEAN is not a one-issue organization. ASEAN will not be held hostage by the Myanmar issue alone.
ASEAN tidak akan disandera hanya oleh isu Myanmar saja.
On the other hand, Sidato further said ASEAN continue to encourage humanitarian assistance to keep helping the people of Myanmar. Sidarto Suryodipuro added that apart from the Myanmar issue, ASEAN under Indonesia's chairmanship in 2023 also needed to discuss a number of other urgent issues such as food and energy challenges to financial stability and the regional health architecture. The Indonesian government is preparing anticipative policies to face economic challenges in 2023 so that national economic growth can still reach 5.3%, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto stated. He noted in a press release recently that regarding the real sector, the government will improve the performance of export-oriented industries. The government will formulate supporting policies to expedite development of the smelter, especially those related to fiscal incentive regulations. Furthermore, he discussed about the stipulation on the length of the period for keeping foreign exchange in the domestic banking system, as well as the sanctions for export proceeds, DHE. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced Thursday she will stand aside for a new leader within weeks, saying she doesn't believe she has the energy to seek re-election in the October polls. Speaking at the news conference, Ardern said she would step down by 7 February if no would-be successor garners the support of two-thirds of the party room. The vote will go to Labour's lay membership. Ardern became the youngest female head of government in the world when she was elected prime minister in 2017, age 37. Thailand ushered in a new age of train travel on Thursday as Southeast Asia's biggest railway station officially began operations. The government says the huge modern development on the edge of central Bangkok will bolster the country's position as a regional hub and boost its economy. It is officially called Krung Thep Aviwat Central Terminal, a name bestowed by the king. According to Takun Indarachom, director of traffic operations for the State Railway of Thailand, the cost of the new terminal, including the station, elevated train tracks and a connecting station for Bangkok's mass transit system, is around $1 billion. A Gulf Cup final match between Iraq and Oman will take place in Basra on Thursday as scheduled. Iraqi soccer officials said despite a deadly stampede outside the stadium just hours earlier, the Iraqi Football Association said that the match between the Iraqi and Omani national teams will take place as scheduled. Earlier on Thursday, a stampede near the Jazaa al-Nakhla Stadium where Iraq and Oman were expected to play in the Arabian Gulf Cup final killed one person and injured at least 60 others, state-run Iraq news agency reported. Defense Ministry spokesperson General Yahya Rasul called on fans to instead gather at entertainment zones where the match will be played on large screens. That was the news.
Thank you. Today's commentary is on the reason behind Vietnamese president resignation. Vietnamese President Nguyen Xuan Phuc resigned Tuesday, January the 17th. Vietnam's National Assembly on Wednesday approved President Nguyen Xuan Phuc's resignation amid ongoing investigation into a corruption scandal related to the country's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. The investigation, which was spearheaded by Communist Party General Secretary Nguyen Phu Trong, is part of an anti-corruption campaign. Vietnamese police have detained more than 130 government officials and businessmen as part of Nguyen Phu Trong's anti-corruption drive. Among them, Pham Binh Minh and Phu Duc Dam were removed from their posts as deputy prime ministers earlier this month over alleged misconduct. Health Minister Nguyen Thanh Long and Hanoi Mayor Chu Ngoc Anh have also been arrested in connection with bribery. Phuc became the first Vietnamese president to resign from office suddenly, and it was a very unusual move in Vietnam. Changes in leadership generally occur when there is pressure or a threat to the stability of the country. Corruption is not a problem classified as disrupting stability in that country. So it seems strange if problem of corruption is not a problem classified as disrupting stability in Vietnam. So it seems strange if the problem of corruption is the reason for the resignation of a president. Moreover, those who were proven to have committed acts of corruption were not Phuc, but officials in his government. In an effort to answer public questions, the Vietnamese Communist Party explained, as quoted by the diplomat on January the 18th, they are currently trying to create what is called a resignation culture. When someone made a mistake or was responsible for a scandal that happened under his supervision, then he was expected to resign. No need to wait for the party to take action. Party General Secretary Nguyen Phu Trong said the party central committee needs to have a policy that encourages people to voluntarily resign. Many do not simply believe the reason given by the Vietnamese Communist Party. One of them is an analyst from BBC News, Jonathan Head. As quoted from BBC News on January the 17th, he is doubtful if the corruption scandal is behind the shift in leadership in Vietnam. Jonathan Head said Vietnam's politics was difficult to read because decisions were made behind closed doors. Though it was stated to the public that it happened in the name of eradicating corruption, but most likely there was another reason behind it. According to Jonathan Head, the shift in leadership in Vietnam showed that there was an attempt to grab power at the top of the party. It is very unfortunate if this is true. Phuc should not simply step down because of a power struggle, especially considering that during his tenure, both as prime minister and as president, Phuc was known for his pro-business policies and efforts to attract foreign investment to Vietnam. He also supports measures to improve the country's infrastructure, build a modern legal system, and promote a more open and sustainable economy. If Phuc really resigns within the framework of the Vietnamese Communist Party's efforts to create a resignation culture, as Nguyen Phu Trong put it, this is certainly a good step. Popularizing the culture of resignation because of responsibility deserves to be supported and set as an example for leaders in any country to follow. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'll start today in history with January the 20th, 1945. Hungarian Prime Minister signed an armistice with the Allies. The Hungarian Provisional Government, led by Prime Minister Béla Miklós de Dalnok, agreed to sign an armistice with the Allies on January the 20th, 1945. This also ended Hungary's participation in the Second World War. Turning to 1958, the governments of Indonesia and Japan signed a peace agreement and compensation agreement. 12 years after its independence proclamation in 1945, Indonesia has established relations with many countries in the world in the interest of politics, economy, peace, and prosperity for the state and the Indonesian people. One of them is with Japan. Between Indonesia and Japan, there have been ongoing economic and trade relations, but political relations were still in an abnormal atmosphere because the two countries were formally still in a state of war. Quoting dpr.go.id, based on the mutual understanding between the two countries regarding war reparations and other matters related to relations between Indonesia and Japan, both countries then signed a memorandum on December 8, 1957 in Jakarta. And based on this memorandum, a peace agreement and compensation agreement were reached between the government of the Republic of Indonesia and the government of Japan. They were signed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Subandrio and Japanese Minister of Foreign Affairs Aichiro Fujiyama on January 20, 1958 in Jakarta. I'll end Today in History with January 20, 1961, the inauguration of John F. Kennedy as the President of the United States. John F. Kennedy was officially sworn in as the 35th President of the United States on January 20, 1961 in Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Kennedy succeeded General Dwight Eisenhower, who stepped down at the age of 70. John F. Kennedy's 14-minute inaugural address is best remembered for a single line: "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." He added, "My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man." Well, that was Today in History.
Friday night, staying up late, laying down side to side. Feels like nothing to be afraid of anything, just enjoy the ride. Do you?
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Ministry of Public Works and Housing optimizes infrastructure development in supporting the regional economy and investment growth. Minister of Public Works and Housing Basuki Haji Mujono said that his side will still prioritize the use of on-progress infrastructure through operations, maintenance, optimizations, and rehabilitation, or OPOR, as quoted by Antara on Wednesday. In a written statement in Jakarta Wednesday, he said that the government will continue the on-progress infrastructure and focus on collaborating and using the existing ones. Minister Basuki also said that infrastructure plays a vital role in controlling inflation, such as guaranteeing the food and staple food supply by developing dams, irrigations, and irrigation network rehab. According to Minister Basuki, currently out of 61, 38 dams have been inaugurated by President Joko Widodo in Indonesia. Some 255,015 hectares of new agricultural irrigations, as well as 3.84 million hectares of irrigation network rehab, have been finished. Therefore, the government's duty is to develop the tertiary network so that the rice production can be better. The infrastructure development also has a main role in ensuring a smooth distribution of food and staple food through toll road and non-toll road development, while flood control for the traffic is supported by developing dams, flood control and coast guards, as well as the production road development. Minister Basuki added that distribution also affects inflation and investment. Until 2022, 1,850 kilometers of new toll road has been built or operational. In 2024, 2,697 kilometers of connected toll road will be completed, so that the total toll road in 2024 will be 3,490 kilometers. The roads are built to facilitate the farmers in transporting their commodity through the regional socio-economic infrastructure development program with People Participation Approach. PISEW is aimed for regional investment and economy through infrastructure development in villages. Besides, to eradicate extreme poverty and stunting, various programs are carried out to provide and improve infrastructure with People Participation's approach via infrastructure development. It starts from house improvement through the self-subsistent housing stimulant fund to clean water and sanitation provision. And that was my Indonesia.
People tend to judge on the things they don't even know about my life. And all this headache keeps coming in, comes and go without no surprise. No wonder you hate with no reason why. Just gotta be stories that are passing by. There's no point digging all the lies that are just crunching someone's life. Now I'm a warrior, gotta hold my head up high. I'm a getting stronger, and nothing gonna break my stride. I gotta keep on moving, gotta be left to the punch. Hit me with your best shot, keep it coming. You don't need
life as you like, cause you don't need to prove to a group of fools. No one don't hear me, no reason why. Just gotta be sorry that I'm passing by. There's no point in feeling all the shame that's making you live in vain. Now I'm a warrior, gotta hold my head up high. I'ma get stronger, and nothing gonna break my stride. I gotta keep on moving, gotta be left to the punch. Hit me with your best shot, keep it coming. Now I'm a warrior, gotta hold my head up high. I'ma get stronger, and nothing gonna break my stride. I gotta keep on moving, gotta be left to the punch. Hit me with your best shot, keep it coming, coming. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. I'm a warrior. 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 I'm a warrior.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Okol Wrestling. Listener, Indonesia has pencak silat as a traditional martial art. In East Java, there is a wrestling martial art which is also popular, namely Okol Wrestling. The Okol wrestling tradition is often performed in Madura, Surabaya, and Gresik, East Java. The wrestling Okol start from the activities of residents when herding their livestock. While waiting for the buffalo, cows, and goats to find food in the rice fields, the herders spend their free time by wrestling on straw. Now, in Madura, the Okol wrestling is performed to accompany some events such as the Dove Race event, the Battle event or Keket or Okol. The event is too big for rain. Meanwhile, in Surabaya and Gresik, this tradition is presented in every almsgiving celebration. It is a form of gratitude for the crops obtained by the farmers. Listener, this wrestling ritual was originally held in a rice field area. However, now the Okol wrestling is held on a stage with mats made of gunny sack in which there is straw at the bottom. The wrestling arena is 6 meters times 8 meters. It is made like a boxing ring with two corners. Around the stage there is a large rope. One fight is done by two wrestlers. Each wrestler is distinguished by a red and black headband and belt. They fight two rounds. One player is declared victorious if he succeeds in knocking down his opponent and his position is at the top. Those who win two rounds in a row will be fought against another winner until a champion is obtained. In its implementation, the traditional wrestling is divided into three categories, namely children, adolescents, and adult men and women. not just playing. The occult wrestling fights also apply some rules to avoid negative impacts. The rules that are not allowed in the occult wrestling fights are neither punching nor injuring the opponent by twisting one's legs, including gripping the opponent by using nails that may cause injury. Therefore, before the fight starts, the participants must be checked for their readiness and condition. Then, to accompany the occult wrestling performances on stage, the local villagers usually play gamelan. The sound of the gamelan being played enlivens the fight that is taking place. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Jadikan hari
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany for today has a topic, Garuda Indonesia, World's Most Punctual Airline 2022. Listeners, Garuda Indonesia was awarded as the most punctual global airline in 2022. The award was given based on the OAG flight view data, a UK-based independent research institution that assesses global airlines. Quoting the Punctuality League 2023 data by the OAG flight view, Garuda Indonesia has 95.63% punctuality. This was the highest achievement made by Garuda Indonesia in the ranking since 2019. Garuda Indonesia ranked second in the previous Punctuality League data. Presiden Director of Garuda Indonesia Irfan Setiaputra said that the achievement was a form of Garuda Indonesia consistency in optimizing their service excellence, especially through punctuality. He also remarked that the achievement awakened the optimism in Garuda Indonesia to keep providing the best flight service for the people, truly starting from service security to punctuality. Further, he hoped the punctuality could continue. Garuda Indonesia, the only Indonesian airline in the top 20. The second most punctual was SafeAir from South Africa, followed by Eurowings in the third. To join the OAG's punctuality league list, OAG must collect the flight status data of at least 80% of all flight schedules operated by the airlines. There are some criteria of on-time performance by OAG. It is among many punctual arrival or departure in 15 minutes or their schedule. Cancellation is also included in the OTP assessment as a late flight. That's miscellany.
Pandanglah ke depan, kau lihat ufuk fajar harapan. Kita hidup dalam persahabatan, kita melangkah menuju kemenangan.
Matahari bersinar benderang, menyinari cita-cita gemilang. Walau mendung datang menantang, kita tegak.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present an original song entitled Curug Gawang. This song narrates the beauty of a waterfall called Curug Gawang, which is located in Sindangkerta District, Bandung Regency, West Java Province. The tear of the water sound falling from a height. The clean water and the cool air make this waterfall a favorite place for local people to spend their free time and also take care of the beauty of the waterfall area. Here is Nurul Cahyani with the original song entitled Curug Gawang.
Kau orang pangker urang,
Voice of Indonesia.
Dalamnya lautan akan kuwarungi, gunung yang menjulang pastikan ku daki.
Rintangan yang datang takkan menghalangi segala niat yang telah kita yakini.
Kadang aku harus menyatu dan juga saling melengkapi untuk menggapai semua mimpi menjadi yang terbaik.
Inappropriate things. You scare people.
I tell the truth. You're
but I'm not telling the truth?
Now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.